This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Again, everybody, this is Wells Tech episode 504, recorded on Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. My name, Martin Spriggs, and it's a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. Joining me as usual, fresh off of a four-day weekend, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and happy belated 4th of July. I see you're looking kind of patriotic there in your red Wells shirt.
Yeah, I got one of the colors.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It was fabulous. Had time to switch my Rubik's Cube calendar to July because July has arrived. That's an exciting month for us. We have Synod Convention coming up at the end of the month. So.
That's the next milestone. Yep.
Yeah, something fun to look forward to. We'll be doing a Wells Tech podcast broadcast from Synod Convention.
So. Great. So did you get your air conditioning fixed today?
Not quite yet, but we got someone coming to look at it. So you may hear a little bit of road noise. I've got the windows open, so try to stay cool.
If you need to towel off or anything, we'll understand.
Yeah, I might need to do that.
So it is summer, of course. That brings with it heat, but it also brings with it a summer series that Wells Tech runs each and every off season, so to speak, where we try and keep a little bit shorter, a little bit lighter in the summer. Those of you that have been following along at home know that we've been focusing most of the show around a ministry resource. So Sally and I trade off picking something that we found and want to develop a little bit more and share with everybody that might be useful in your particular ministry. So, Sally, you're up this week. What did you come up with for ministry resources?
Well, this week I wanted to spend a little time talking about QR codes. And I actually have one on my blog post. So if you have a QR scanner, it'll lead you right to the blog post where you can learn more. But this isn't a new topic for Wells Tech. We've talked about QR codes in the past, and some may wonder why revisit it now in 2017. I actually did a little research and found that they've been around since 1994. So not new technology at all, just a different kind of two-dimensional barcoding that has a lot more capabilities. And so trillions of combinations, I would assume. So you can actually go out and create your own QR codes that will drive traffic to different places or send messages or communicate passwords, whatever you want your QR codes to do. So, Martin, I'm sure the burning question in your mind is why pick this as a ministry resource, right?
Well, wasn't this a thing like 7 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I found actually when I was doing research. I found a whole bunch of articles from 2010 to 2013 where everybody was explaining how to do it and why to do it, and then it kind of just died off, and I haven't seen it used a whole lot necessarily. And one of the biggest reasons is because you need a special app on your smartphone in order to read QR codes. The smartphone isn't quite smart enough at this point to just look at those barcoded information and interpret them for you. So that kind of became a stumbling block. So geeks understood it a little bit. But the normal folks just saw these codes and went, well, I don't know what to do with it. And so I put in the article the QR code scanner that I use. It's called Scan. It's pretty straightforward. You point your phone at the QR code, line it up nicely, and your phone then opens up whatever link or text or whatever is associated with the QR code. The big breakthrough, though, is that Apple recently announced with their iOS 11 that the camera will automatically scan for you. Hooray! So all of a sudden, it is going to become a lot smoother path for people to use barcodes. And I read some articles that said, you know, now that Apple's doing it, you would think that the Android phones will very quickly follow and have QR code scanners associated with their cameras as well. So big update for people that want to use QR codes.
So we probably should explain what QR stands for.
Yeah, and I actually have a Wikipedia article that I linked to where you can find out all kinds of things like what it stands for. It is for quick response code. And like I said, just kind of a matrix type barcode invented mainly initially for the automotive industry in Japan. And it's used quite a bit. If you look at packages that you get and stuff, you'll find that people are using QR codes in industry and if you go to Sam's Club or any different shopping, you can find, you know, scan here to get more details or whatever it may be. So it is used, but probably just not as easy for the common man to make use of it. And obviously, our schools and churches, they want to do what's efficient for them. Martin, I'm just getting a little echo, just for what it's worth. They want to use their communication time well, and they don't want to invest in technology that people can't make use of. And so I'm, at this point, encouraging you to take another look at QR codes for your church and school ministry, because I do think it is an investment that's going to pay off, especially as more and more people can use it with their camera that's built into their smartphones. So the rest of the post for this week just goes into some different applications and audience of people that might use QR codes. Right off the top of my head, it came to me that it would be appropriate for different presentations. And I think pastors and teachers are notorious for presenting things, for having Bible classes, for teaching in the classroom, for doing special presentations, whatever they may be. And I really like it when I do a presentation to hand out a single sheet of paper and tell everybody, you don't have to take notes. All the resources are online. Maybe I just embed my Google Slideshow and put a few links that I talk about in my presentations or whatever it may be. But the sheet of paper has perhaps a shortcut link to my page as well as a QR code that can get people directly to my online presentation resources. So I think that's an excellent use for QR codes.
I think that's one of the big benefits, is to take you from a analog scenario to a digital one where you can share more information or more dynamic information, you know, as new information mm-hmm. becomes available. So it makes something that is fairly static, piece of paper, mm-hmm. Into something more dynamic. When I was kind of following up on this and doing a little bit of research myself, QR codes are much bigger outside of this country. And I think in Apple's keynote, they mentioned especially China. And that's a market that they're really trying to get into, I think. So that's maybe even the biggest driver for Apple to do this. And it is almost amazing to me that one company can rejuvenate a technology that was kind of dismissed long ago just by saying, well, now we're going to support it. I know that I used to use an app as well. I think it was called Red Laser that did something like that, but you had to know, again, kind of the geek factor was pretty high. You had to know what the QR codes were for, et cetera, et cetera. But there, I think there are probably a lot of things that Apple has in store now. And they talked a little bit in their keynote about using this in HomeKit, so with home automation kinds of things, just scanning codes to do different kinds of things, contacts, calendar information, maps, those kinds of things. And I think there's application for ministry in all of those areas.
And certainly you can go the extra mile and educate your users, your congregation members, your school parents or whatever, we're using QR codes for this reason and here's what it means. And guess what? Very soon your smartphone's going to read these for you automatically with your camera. If you want to get a jump start, here's an app we recommend, whatever. If you do a little bit of that groundwork, maybe for a few weeks so that everyone kind of gets the message, then you probably will get some pretty positive feedback from having these quick links to things. Another area I could see would be any kind of advertising, any flyers, any pamphlets, anything that you're doing that you want to communicate to a large group of people, an event coming up or whatever, maybe drive them to your website to register or something like that. That's a great application for having a QR code. The smartphone's handy. It's in everyone's hand and easy to do that type of access. One that I wasn't familiar with, Martin, was the Wi-Fi. And as you encode these smart, these QR codes, and maybe I'll share my screen real quick and show an example. This QR code generator I have up is called QR Code Generator. It's goqr.me is the website for this one. You can see that there's all different types of QR codes generators that you can do, a V-card, an SMS message, so you can have it text you anytime someone sends scans the QR code. But this one in particular, the encryption method that you can choose for your Wi-Fi network, WPA or WEP, your SSID network name, and your password can all be communicated via a QR code. So imagine having your guest password for your church or school network saved in this QR code format, and you can hand it out on a sheet of paper to people that you want to have it, or you could post it on a sign somewhere so people that are in the building can actually scan it and get the password for the guest Wi-Fi network, whatever it may be. So I thought that was a great way to do it, and just really creative that there's all those different parameters that you can put in to these QR codes as you generate them.
Yeah, in the tutorial that you linked to in the blog post, the YouTube video, there were a lot of different ways to be creative with it. Of course, creating them in different colors and even embedding your logo, those kinds of things, which I didn't know you could do. But also the many different kinds of QR codes that you could kind of create behind the scenes could be phone mm-hmm. numbers, Wi-Fi passwords, addresses, almost anything. And then you can change it on the back end sometimes as well, like the Wi-Fi. So if your password changes, you don't have to update your Wi-Fi. You don't have to update anything. The QR code just stays the same. It just points to a different resource. So that's pretty cool.
It is cool. I will mention that some of them are pay for options. Yep. One that they talked about was using short codes and being able to change the short codes, similar to what you're describing. Mm-hmm. So currently, this particular URL points to this web page, but now we're going to make it point to this web page. And you can do that with your own short code generator as well. So lots of creativity there to drive people where you want them to be and not have to always change the QR code in the process.
You can also track usage that way too. If you're using one of those like Bitly or something in between, you have a way to determine whether this is valuable or not too.
I actually have goo.gl up. Goo.gl is Google's URL shortener, and you get it automatically with your Google account or Google Apps for Education account or whatever it may be. And it does stats as well. But when you generate one, you can click the skinny snowman, the vertical ellipsis, and QR codes are there for you to easily right-click and save to your computer. So comes along for the ride with the goo.gl shorteners.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just a couple of more kind of application type things. Scavenger hunt, super fun to hide QR codes around your building perhaps and give people clues where to find the first one. And the first one leads them to a QR code, which when they eventually find, they can scan and it'll have the clue to the second one. So really fun fellowship activity to do QR code scavenger hunts. Maybe you're having a picnic in the park and you want to do just an afternoon activity there. You could use QR codes to kind of drive that as well. So just some fun ideas there. And then finally, pointing to specific web pages. For instance, if you have a web page which you're continually modifying with new and important parent resources for your school parents or whatever it may be, you could generate a QR code for that, make it easy for people to get to hot pages on your website or resources that you've put together. And so just a few ideas there. As Martin mentioned, later in the blog post, there's a great overview video that walks through. It maybe takes a minute to create a QR code and download it, but it shows you different ways you can do it, different sites you can use, and we have links to all those different sites in the blog post as well. So that's QR codes in a nutshell.
Yeah, I was in church. I had family, and so we decided to go to a church in Milwaukee, and they had a QR code in their bulletin for giving. So their giving site, the ability to get there quickly, you scan it in, and you know during the offering you could go right to the giving page. So there's another example.
Very good. I have to add that to the list.
All right. Very good. So be sure to check out wellstech.wells.net and for that article as well. And we'll put it on social networks out there to share with everybody too. Nicely done, Sally. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
All right. I will jump in with my pick of the week. It is not necessarily ministry resources, but ministry inclined, but it does have to do with technology and just kind of the future of technology. It was an interesting link that I came across to an article from MIT, their technology review, where they list the 50 smartest companies of 2017. And the way they defined it in a nutshell, 50 companies that best combine innovative technology with an effective business model. And I just found it a really fascinating list to look through and see where these companies are located and what kind of technology they're doing. So you can see each of them listed here, and you can click for just kind of a overview of what they're doing. So number one on the list, NVIDIA, which I think most people might be familiar with, a video company, video
chip
components, yeah, for your computers. It says continues to tweak its chips, originally developed for gaming, to help develop breakthrough technologies like deep learning and autonomous driving. $3 billion is what they're spending in research and development to create their new data center chip. So pretty amazing technology. Others that made the top 10, some I was familiar with. Alphabet is Google's. Amazon is here. One of note that's not in the top 10 is Apple. They're way down at number 16. So what we consider something very cutting edge, maybe there are others that are ahead of them in that game. There were several that I noticed that had to do with face technology. This Face++ was one I read about. Uses of face recognition technology from fraud investigation to smile to pay. Can you imagine just walking up and smiling at a receiver and it knows who you are and allows you to take the money right out of your checking account or whatever? Can't get a whole lot more personal than that.
Paradox there.
Yeah. So I smile when I pay for things. It's Kevin that frowns in my case. But anyway, just a fun list to kind of investigate and see where the new technology is. There's a lot of artificial intelligence stuff on the list, and a lot of things that might surprise you, like Facebook is listed. They've had controversies, it says, over fake news, live streaming video, and discriminatory advertising. Poor sales of its Oculus Rift. However, it continues to work on AI and virtual reality, and Instagram is booming. It says the number of natural language data sets built into the company's AI research tool is 20. So 20 different natural languages already built in. I just can't imagine the future. It dumbfounds me to read through this list, and I thought other people might enjoy, you know, stretching what they know of technology development. all over the world, and some really exciting things that are happening. So that's what I have for a pick of the week.
Yeah, it does pay. It does pay to kind of keep on top of where things are headed, because there are things that churches and schools can take advantage of. That you know, like you mentioned with QR codes, even some of the newer
creative uses
and developments going into some of these devices that make it usable. Good stuff. My pick. Let me see if I can bring that up. And this is kind of a side pick. I have been spending a lot of time with photos lately, as you can imagine. Took some photos of fireworks over the weekend, of course, and family, and we had a wedding a couple weeks ago. So spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to organize photos and such, and I really enjoyed, again, working with Google Photos. It seems like they have come up with a lot of new things recently that make it real easy to organize your photos, tag them, edit them. I'm looking forward to trying their photo books application. Looks like decent pricing for one of these smaller coffee table type books, 7-inch or 9-inch square books, $9.99, $19.99. You just throw in your photos and they do the rest. I'm looking forward to trying that out, but that's not my pick. One of the challenges I had with Google Photos for a long time was sharing, because really the only way to share is by individual picture or by album. So you could create an album and share it, and you'd keep the album up to date, and you could share it with different individuals. But what one of the things that, and that's good, it works really well, but one of the things I really wanted to do was to share it with my wife. And I wanted Debbie to be able to see everything that's on my Google Photos, so that we could, so whether she's taking it or I'm taking it, we'd have access to each other's accounts and we could see everything that's taken. And there was no way to do that until recently, where Google launched the ability to share, they call it sharing with a partner. You can, one of the limitations is you can only share with one other person. So you can't share your entire library with more than one person. But if you want to share with your spouse, that's very easy to do. So the, I'll put a link in the show notes to a Google Photos help article called Share Your Google Photos Library with a Partner. And it walks you through. It takes all of about 30 seconds to do this. You just go into the menu, type Share Your Library, and then click the Get Started button. You can kind of filter this down so you can add only some photos, or use their face feature. So you can say, well, only show photos with if somebody is in the picture. And they've done an amazing job with that too. Or you could filter by date, or you can just do everything, which is what I did for Debbie, where she can accept the invitation and she can see everything that I'm uploading. And I have my phone set to upload anything that I take up to Google Photos right away. So she has immediate access to that. And she can actually do the same for me, so that we can share each other's photos, which was kind of a problem, other than kind of creating a common album that you would share to, which is kind of an extra step and kind of a pain. Here, she would just have access to everything, and then I'd have everything, access to everything that, that she has done as well. So I think there is some value there for those that want to figure out a way to share photos without a lot of complicating sharing techniques through albums and those kinds of things. So another checkbox that Google has said yes on, which is adds to a growing list. I think Google's done just a super job with this. So,
why, that's really cool and exciting. I'm glad I came to the podcast today. does she have to reciprocate? I mean, does it require her to share with you?
She just needs to accept my invitation to be able to see my photo library. So, and so then technically, you can resend it if you want, or you can change who it is that you share it with, etc. So. Again, the limitation is you can only do it with one person. I would imagine over time Google's going to expand that. I got to think that they would do that. But here at least solves one problem for us where if I took a photo, she'd always have to either ask me, hey, I want a copy of that, or text that to me, or put that in a shared album or something. Now she just has access to it and can download it or put it in her own albums, whatever. So,
pretty nice. Good to learn.
All right. So that's our picks. We do have a little bit of community feedback, Sally.
We do. We heard from Pastor Rob Gunther up in Kenai, Alaska, Grace, in Kenai, and he shared a blog post. It was a real quick message from Pastor Gunther. It said, if I get my cursor in the right place, it said, what I've been doing for years, but summarized concisely in a nice blog post. So this is 11 steps to extend the life of your message. And it goes into the fact that pastors spend a lot of time developing their sermon each week. And why not get the most out of it that you can? So write it, get a video recording of it, publish the video. You can even pull out some clips of the video. And it says you can edit these with a little background music to make a more powerful clip that people will share. You can pull the audio, and it gives instructions on how to do that on a Mac, but you can do it on a PC as well with the right software. All along throughout this list, it says perhaps you want to engage someone who's interested in doing this type of work from your congregation to help you with that. It even suggests, I guarantee a teenager in your church knows how to do this probably better than you could. So have them pull the audio and transcribe it so you can actually get a written version of it. Of course, if you've written out your sermon completely, that's probably a lot more accurate than a transcription would be. And then you can publish the transcript, so the written version of it, on a blog. You can pull quotes from that transcript to use in certain places. You can schedule social promotion. So using a tool, I think they mentioned Buffer, or there are others out there where you can schedule to tweet out the messages or link to the podcast audio version or whatever it may be. And then having all this great content, you can even compile it into a book. And we know Pastor Gunther has done that with some of his sermon series. He's published a book through CreateSpace like we did to have a published version of a sermon series, for instance. So great tips, kind of walks you through step by step. Maybe pastors haven't taken the time to think of all the ways that they could make use of their sermons, but this does it very concisely, like Pastor Gunther said.
Very good.
Yep. And then we heard from our friend Perry Lund. Let me see if I can share my screen one more time. I shouldn't have stopped sharing. Perry shared a tweet with us that he got from someone he follows, and it's an infographic showing how to integrate Office 365 Teams. And it's pretty small on my screen right now, but if you go to the link, you can dig in and read about how you can collaborate in an education setting using Teams and the complete Office 365 suite. And I know they use that out at Evergreen Lutheran High School where Perry teaches, and he's a big proponent for using the Office tools in the education setting for a very affordable price. So definitely check this out and see all that it can do for you.
Very nice. Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to contribute to the show, very easy to do. Go to wellstech.wells.net. And you can see all the social connections that we have across the top right. You can leave a comment on a particular show right there on the page. And you can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We'll get to us. And we would love to hear any feedback that you have, something that you found useful in ministry, maybe feedback on our ministry resources. I'd love to hear from you. So please take advantage of that and join the conversation. Each and every week we pick a favorite video that we'd like to share, and we're doing that this summer. Sal, you want to share what we've come up with this week?
Sure. This is one from our friends at Koine, a beautiful version of Lord, When Your Glory I Shall See. CoinAid's doing a really fun thing. Every Friday they put out a new video. So their Friday video recently was this beautiful hymn, and I think you'll enjoy their rendition. You could even project it in a worship setting for people to sing along with, and the words go right along as they're singing. So very well done, and enjoy.
Good. That's going to do it for this episode. We kept it short, sweet. Hopefully it was a blessing, will be a blessing and beneficial to you. Come back next week and join us again for another ministry resource. I'll be on deck. And I have no idea what my ministry resource will be. So it'll be a surprise to both of us, but hopefully it'll be well worth the
guaranteed. So, guaranteed.
Tune back with us again next week. And I think do we return to our normal recording day, Sally?
I believe we do. All this silliness of weddings and things is behind us.
Back on Tuesday.
There you go.
At least for a few times, and then we'll screw it all up with Cine Convention. But thanks everybody for being here. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.